of you. We are continuing in what will be the last of our series, which we started at the beginning of the month of December. As we ventured on this kind of journey to see from Jesus' own words why it is that he came. And again, we're doing this. There's a few reasons. Number one, there's a number of people that don't really understand why Jesus came or why Christ came, took on human flesh. They don't understand this. It is a mystery to them. It's something they celebrate. But there is a certain just emptiness to their celebration. And I think even for us, as we do really look at the incarnation as the grand miracle, the greatest of all of God's miracles, for us, we want to have as full and rich an understanding of why it is that Christ came as we possibly can. And so this series intends to help fill in any gaps there and just to give us from Jesus' own words a richer, fuller understanding of why it is he came. And so this morning, the passage we're going to look at, it is a little different from the ones we've looked at previously. The tone of it is a little different, and the context in which he speaks it is certainly much different. As the context for the statement we'll be looking at is the eve of Jesus' execution, when he was standing before Pontius Pilate, the leading Roman official there in that area in that day. And he was standing trial before him, being grilled by him. And it was there in the midst of this grilling, this brief dialogue that takes place between Jesus and Pilate, that Jesus says, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come, to bear witness to the truth." That's why he came, to bear witness to the truth. And that's the statement we're going to be exploring this morning. And so, as much as I would have liked to have read the entire trial scene in John 18, we're just going to read a few verses, John 18, verses 33 through 38. And so if you would please give honor to the reading of God's word. "So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered, 'Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world.' Then Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice.' Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?'" And this is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, you are a gracious God, a God of wonders. And this morning, it is a great joy to be here together to in one sense, sit in as an audience to this dialogue that our Lord had with the man who would ultimately sign off on his execution. And I pray, Father, that as we look at these words, as we peer into what Jesus is saying here and what he means here, and try to answer the question, and do answer the question as to what is truth, I pray that you would please just give to us open minds and open hearts, that, Lord, we would receive from you and be nourished and edified in your words. Please do this, I pray, and please give me grace as I proclaim your word, that I would do so in a manner that honors the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I serve, and ask this in his name. Amen. It's a great way that dialogue ends, isn't it? What is truth? It's the question Pilate asks, and it's the question that everyone asks. Everyone is ultimately looking for truth. And for some people, that quest for truth, it's like a tiger chasing its tail. You know, they're just going round and round saying such nonsensical things as there is no truth. And yet, in stating that there is no truth, they are declaring a truth. And so everybody wants to know what is truth. And answering that question is, it really is, when you think about it, one of the greatest concerns of our lives. And not just in the big things, but in everything. Because the reality is that the world is full of competing ideas and competing products and competing lifestyles that are all vying for our trust. And the way that they earn our trust is by convincing us that what they are saying or what they are selling or what they are promoting is indeed true. So it all comes down to truth. And all of us, we're constantly confronted with this dilemma as to whether or not what we are hearing is actually true. I think in the last few years, that reality has hit us very hard. That dilemma over whether or not what a particular person or a particular organization or a particular political candidate or a particular news network, whether or not what they are telling us is true. And I think we'd all admit this was one of the most difficult things in dealing with COVID. It was who is telling us the truth. Is it the CDC and the NIH and the pharmaceutical companies and our own president? Or is it, you know, the Great Barrington Declaration and the tens of thousands of doctors and medical professionals and scientists who are telling us something else? Who's telling us the truth? And we were all, every one of us, no matter which side you land on, every one of us wanted the same thing. We wanted to know who is telling us the truth. All of us did. And this happens all throughout life. We're just saying, who's telling us the truth and who's not? I mean, you think about health and nutrition. Something is probably a concern to all of us. So do we believe that the traditional food pyramid, that this is true, this is actually the best way to good health? Do we believe that's true? Or do we believe it's the Mediterranean diet? Or do we believe it's the carnivore diet? Or do we believe it's the ketogenic diet? Or what is true? And then, of course, there is the topic of religion, right? Do we believe the Mormons are true in what they are teaching, believing, promoting? Or what about the Jehovah's Witnesses? Do we believe them? Do we believe that their translation is an accurate translation and thus their interpretation is true? What about Islam? What about Buddhism? Who is telling the truth? Everybody wants to know. And the list goes on and on and on as the quest for truth touches every single area of our lives, from the moment we're old enough to think until the moment we're no longer able to do so. And the biggest choices we make in the most important areas of our lives will depend on what we believe to be true. And it's with that in mind that Jesus says, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Jesus is saying, I came to cut right through the lies. I came to bear witness to the truth. And so the question is, or I should say the questions are, what does that mean, that he came to bear witness to the truth? What does it encompass, meaning what truth? And how do we know what he is bearing witness to is ultimately true? Those are the three things that, questions that I think need to be answered in looking at this particular statement, and those are the three things we'll be considering this morning. And so we begin then with this first question: what does it mean to bear witness to the truth? Well, this term to bear witness, it means to testify to it. It means to give a testimony. It can even mean to authenticate something. And this is what Jesus is saying he came to do. He came to give his testimony about the truth. And this tells us something that is important, something that that certainly a growing number of people don't want to admit, and that is that there actually is truth. There is truth, because he didn't come to bear witness to non-truth, he came to bear witness to truth. And so, in saying he came to bear witness to the truth, that means there is a truth to bear witness to. And that's something that needs to be said, because, again, the prevailing thought of the day is that truth can be relative, so that I have my truth and you have your truth, and therefore I can't impose my truth upon you because that doesn't comport with your truth. But that's nonsense. Because logically speaking, at least as it pertains to any binary, it's impossible for two contrary things to be at one and the same time true. I mean, how can it be true that a man cannot get pregnant, which is what I believe, is a truth I believe, and at the same time, it be true that a man can be pregnant, which, surprisingly, there are people who do believe. Both of those things cannot be true at the same time. They both can't be true. And the reason why is because truth isn't subjective. It's not based upon what I believe, but truth is objective. It's beyond me. Whether I agree with it, whether I submit to it, whether I acknowledge it, is secondary to the fact of that truth. Truth is truth. It's bigger than me. And it exists whether I believe it or not. And this is the way it is with every binary. So either Jesus is the Savior and he is the only way to God, or he's not. There is no, well, he kind of is. There's no nuance to that statement. He is or he isn't. It's one or the other. So there is truth, and Jesus is saying he was born and came into the world to bear witness to the truth. And so the question is, what is the truth that he came to bear witness to? Well, no, it is a particular truth. Our text is clear. It says he came to bear witness to the truth. And in the Greek text, that definite article is right there in front of that word truth. It is something specific, something particular. He came to bear witness to the truth. So there is a specific, transcendent, objective truth that Jesus came into the world. Jesus was born into this world to bear witness to. And so what is that truth? Well, this is where our context helps us. Because the context, again, is Jesus is standing here before Pontius Pilate, the leading official there, Roman official there in the land. And he's just been arrested, and he's now standing before Pilate with the very real possibility of execution by crucifixion there in front of him. And he's standing here in front of Pilate being grilled by him. But towards the end of this trial, which is what our passage here is dealing with, Pilate questions Jesus as to whether or not he is the king of the Jews, which is to ask him, are you the Messiah? That's who the king of the Jews is. That's what's meant by this statement. He wants to know, are you the Messiah? And Jesus initially answers or responds to that question by asking if he's wanting to know this for himself or others have actually said this about him. But then instead of answering this question directly, Jesus instead makes this statement about his kingdom, saying, my kingdom is not of this world. And here in verse 36 and what, verse 37, we have a very wonderful sort of, you know, statements to explore about the nature of the kingdom of God. But again, that's not our concern here. The concern is, what is the truth Jesus is referring to? Well, Pilate responds to Jesus' statement about his kingdom, concluding, and rightly so, that Jesus is a king, because one of the requirements, of course, if you have a kingdom, then by default you are a king. And if you are a king, then by default you have a kingdom. It's one of the requirements of being a king. Well, you've got to have a kingdom. You've got to have a people and a place you're ruling over. And if there's a kingdom, well, that means there's got to be a king. There's got to be someone to rule over that particular kingdom. So Pilate's right in concluding that Jesus is a king. And it's then that Jesus says, you say that I am a king. And then goes on to make this statement about why he was born and came into the world. It's to bear witness to the truth. What truth? Truth that he's a king. The truth that he's the Messiah. The truth that he is all that is wrapped up in that. He is the promised Savior. This is why he was born. This is why he came into the world. It is to bear witness to this and testify to it. And this is the truth. You know, if you want to see, he says this is the reason why he was born and why he came into the world. Well, we have the record of his life, so we should see this in the record of his life, right? Well, beginning of John's gospel, it opens with a prologue, and the prologue is kind of like the introduction to the book. So in those, you know, first 14, 18 verses, you have this prologue, and that it's like telling us everything that lies ahead in the book. And there in that prologue in verse 6, we're told that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe in him. And then we're told that John was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. And that's how John's gospel begins. It's telling us that this is a testimony about this one, and we know who this person is. It's God incarnate who then became flesh. This is what John tells us in his prologue. And it's how his prologue begins. And this is the truth that Jesus then goes on to bear witness about throughout this gospel, both in his words and in his works. And so, for example, in John chapter 5, after Jesus had performed this healing over this paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda, we're told that the Jews were seeking to kill Jesus because not only was he breaking the Sabbath by performing this healing on the Sabbath, but he was calling himself, he was calling God his own Father, and in doing so was making himself equal with God. So here they're telling us he was bearing witness about the truth of who he is, that he is God incarnate. God is his equal. God is his father. And as this encounter with the Pharisees continues, Jesus goes on to say, there's another who bears witness about me. You sent John, and he has borne witness to the truth. So now he's pointing back to John, who was the light, who came to bear witness about the light, though he wasn't the light, was pointing instead to Jesus. So John bore witness about him. Jesus points that. And then a few verses down from there, he says, there is another who has bore witness about me, and that is the Father who sent me. And that is a reference to his baptism. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. That voice from heaven, the transfiguration, same statement. This is my beloved Son. Obey him. The Father has bore witness about him as well. After that, Jesus says, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And then if that's not enough, this is all in John 5 on the heels of this one healing. He says to them a few verses later, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have life, and it is they that bear witness of me. So when Jesus tells Pilate, for this reason I was born, and this is why I came into the world to bear witness to the truth, he's talking about bearing witness to who he is. That he is the Messiah, the King, the promised Savior, the one that was foretold all throughout the Old Testament scriptures, the one that the Father himself bore witness to there in the baptism as John was baptizing the multitudes and there on the Mount of Transfiguration. I am that one. He is bearing witness to that. And again, the testimony he is bearing witness to, John the Baptist was bearing witness to, the Father was bearing witness to, his miraculous works were bearing witness to, the Old Testament scriptures were bearing witness to. It's just this one unanimous testimony by every voice of authority saying, this is who he is. And Jesus is saying, that's why I came. I came to bear witness to this. And so when Pilate asks, what is truth? This is the truth Jesus is referring to. He's not talking about mathematical truth or scientific truth or historical truth. It's not what he's talking about, though anything Jesus did talk about was true. He didn't come to bear witness to those particular truths, but he came to bear witness to the one main, most critical truth of all. And that is the truth of who he is. And that is the most critical truth of all to know. Because having the truth about who Jesus is lets us know the truth about how a person can be saved, how a person can be forgiven, and how a person can have eternal life. See, that's the question that Jesus' testimony answers. As his testimony says, that it's only through me, the Savior whom God has promised, that forgiveness and eternal life is found. So a few chapters later, in chapter 8, after that healing at the pool of Bethesda, there is that other account. We looked briefly at it last night in the Feast of Booths and the giant pillars of fire and so forth. But there, Jesus has another run-in with the Pharisees, and he says to them there, I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And so the Pharisees ask him again, who are you? That's what they ask him. Jesus, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. It's the same thing. And what Jesus is saying, this is what you need to know, because if you don't know this, you will die in your sins. You will. So it's not like, hey, we want to get the answer as to who Jesus really is. We want to get it right so that we can sort of, you know, answer a test correctly. We want to get it right because we don't want to die in our sins. So this is the question. This is the truth that we must get right. We must agree. This is truth whether we agree with it and submit to it or not. But we must agree with it and submit to it in order to not die in our sins, but enjoy the life that is in him. And so this is the truth he bears witness to. But that then leads to the question, how do we know his testimony is true? Well, again, what did Jesus point to say? Here's how, because they were saying the same thing to him. You bear witness about yourself, so your testimony is not true. Okay. John bore witness about me. What do you say about John? We know they were faced with that dilemma in their lives. But John bore witness about me. What do you say about that? The Father, he has borne witness about me. All those people on the shores, John heard the voice from heaven. Father bore witness about me. What do you say about the Father and him bearing witness? And what about Scripture? Scripture bears witness of me as well. And the Scriptures are full of testimony that is spoken about Jesus centuries before he was born and then confirmed in Jesus when he was alive. And many of these Scriptures, Jesus couldn't have manipulated them to so that he could say, okay, deep study of the Word, okay, and now I've got it all down. Now I want to go try and mimic that and pretend that I'm that guy, such as he was born in Bethlehem. He couldn't control where he'd be born, Micah 5:2. He couldn't control that. Or that he was born of a virgin. He couldn't control that. These are things that are spoken, prophecies in the Old Testament, and then validated, confirmed in him in the New Testament. So the Scriptures bear witness. This is another way that we know. And then, of course, there are Jesus' works. Jesus repeatedly points to his works as being that which bears witness that he has been sent from God. And these works, these are works that others had never seen being done. John 5, this was a man who was paralyzed from birth. This beggar who was there at the pool of Bethesda, and suddenly he's walking. There is the man born blind in John chapter 9. They said they'd never seen a miracle. It's never been reported, not even a rumor of something like this happening. There's the woman of Nain whose son was raised from the dead. And there is, of course, Lazarus who was dead and buried in the tomb for 4 days, raised. And this isn't stuff that just, you know, Jesus' followers wrote down long afterwards so they could kind of just put their own spin on who Jesus is to start this Christian religion and gain power and oppress people and the narrative that we hear out there today. No, his enemies were bearing witness of this. When Lazarus was raised, you remember his enemies were freaking out saying, well, we've got to now kill Lazarus. Because if this guy's walking around after having been dead for 4 days, what does that do to us? I mean, the works bear witness. All of these things, the very things Jesus pointed to, they're the things that we can point to also. It's validating Jesus' testimony. And then, of course, there is Jesus' testimony about himself. You are bearing witness about yourself, so your testimony is not true. Au contraire. My testimony is very much true. It's very much true. Because think about it, who else could Jesus be other than who he said? You all are familiar with C.S. Lewis's argument in Mere Christianity, the trilemma. Liar, lunatic, or Lord. It's what C.S. Lewis writes. He said, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. See, Lewis is showing that there's only one really reasonable choice as to who Jesus can be. Because is Jesus a liar? I mean, do liars go around doing good, healing the sick, forsaking wealth and fame and forsaking these things? The liar's usually pursuing those things. They'll lie to get all that stuff. Is the liar standing up for the oppressed? Is the liar willing to be tortured and executed by crucifixion for his own lie when he knows it's a lie? Of course not. Is Jesus a lunatic? He's the most logical, reasonable, rational, skilled person we have any record of anywhere. I mean, so it's like, and as Lewis, he's not a great moral teacher. How could he be a great teacher and be saying he's something he's not? I mean, no matter where you go with this, who is Jesus? Well, Jesus just didn't even exist. Wrong. It's like everything, it puts us into a corner. Jesus' own life, his own words, the gospel record, it puts us in a corner and says, okay, he is who he said he is. At least have the integrity to say, I don't care, I don't want anything to do with him. Yeah, that's who he is. I just want to live my own way. All right. It's a terrible choice. Because you will die in your sins. But there is no other choice. See, for this reason, Jesus was born. For this reason, Jesus came into the world. It is to bear witness to the truth. It is to set the record straight. This is who I am. And it's critically important that you know it, because this is the way out of your sins. And so the question is, do you believe his testimony? His testimony, when you hear that, do you believe his testimony? Jesus was actually telling the truth about himself. Well, for most of you, you have answered that question with a resounding yes. And you might at times be riddled with doubt. It's normal. It's happened to me, and doubt is a real part of the life of faith. It's a fight. It's a struggle. It's not just easy peasy, simple believing all the way to heaven. It's a fight. But we've answered that. And we've said, I do believe. You are exactly who you said you are. And I believe the testimony of Scripture, and I believe the testimony of John, and I believe the testimony of the Father, and I believe the testimony of your works. I believe these things. You've said that. And you will not die in your sins. You will live. This is Jesus' promise. This is his word. And this is the good news. It's good news because even if you're sitting here this morning as a skeptic or as an unbeliever, the news here is one that that says there's still time. You see, as long as there is breath within you, there is time to say, Lord, I believe. I believe. And again, even if your mind is struggling with doubts, and there are questions that you have, you can begin to search those out from a place of faith. But if it's always just a matter of saying, well, there's, believe me, more questions will keep coming. More questions will keep coming. If we're waiting for every question to be answered, we'll never do any significant thing anywhere in life, because most of the things we venture out on, there are questions to be answered along the way. I mean, list of going to this college, marrying this person, taking this job, moving to this city, whatever it is, there's all kinds of questions to be answered along the way. Never going to have all the answers. But you start out from a place of faith and you say, Lord, I believe this testimony. Okay, I believe it. Help me in my unbelief and lead me forward in the way of faith. This is life. This is eternal life. This is faith. Because ultimately it's not the strength of our faith that saves us, it's the strength of the faithful one who saves us. So that even if we have faith as a mustard seed, it's sufficient for our great God. And so this is why he came. This is why he was born. It's to bear witness to this great, most critical truth of all, the truth of who he is. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for the testimony that Jesus has borne concerning himself. And Lord, as his sheep, we hear his voice and we know it is him who is speaking. And we are so grateful that he continues to speak to us and your word continues to minister to us this great truth of who Jesus is and of the life we have in him. We thank you. And Father, I do pray that you would continue to work in us, strengthen us in our faith, and keep us, Father, please keep us in a world full of deception, in a world where there is so much attacking this most critical truth of all. Keep us secure always in the faith. Preserve us and guard us and keep us from the deception that is in the world. Lord, we are grateful that you are the faithful shepherd and that you do complete the work you begin, and that all those who are in your hand are safe and secure and none can snatch them out. We thank you and we bless you. Thank you for being born, for coming into this world, for bearing witness to this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.